RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kala says urbanization to become challenge in the future. Indonesia proposes items of island-based urban development. Indonesia ready to compete in Rio Olympics 2016. Now the news in detail. In the opening of third session of Preparatory Committee of Habitat Conference 3 in Surabaya, East Java on Monday, Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kala said in his speech that urbanization is inevitability for every country nowadays. According to him, the small agriculture field in villages and improvement of agricultural products through agricultural mechanism are contributors of the increase in urbanization in every country. Therefore, according to him, a country should create a conducive urban atmosphere for development of people.
Dan itu tantangannya adalah bagaimana kota dapat menjadi pemukiman yang baik.
Therefore, the challenge is how the city can become a good and pleasant settlement for all people. That's we face a dilemma which should be a positive thing, and of course, how to make a good and secured life. Furthermore, Vice President Yusuf Kala also encouraged the world to work together to handle one of the world challenges, namely massive urbanization, which happens in many places. According to him, it needs fair solution. He said sufficient city planning should also be supported by a long-term funding system. He encouraged developed countries to help developing countries to make a better development of urban system. Minister of Public Works and Public Housing Basuki Hadi Mulyono, in a country statement that was submitted by Indonesian delegation in Pritkom 3 in Surabaya, Japan, Monday, said that Indonesia, as a representative of archipelagic countries, encouraged urban development efforts in the archipelagic state. Minister Basuki also said this can be done in several approaches, including by identifying connectivity between downtown and the village by providing a good transportation system. The system will be conducted by prioritizing the development of urban cultural approach with community development approach.
Kita tadi sudah saya sampaikan sebagai negara kepulauan menyampaikan pemikiran.
We are, as an archipelagic nation, deliver views. How do we implement the urban development in the archipelagic state? There are among others connectivity and culture.
Moreover, Minister Basuki said in addition to connectivity and culture, Indonesian delegation also encouraged efforts to make the city as a center of regional development. Furthermore, he explained that equitable and sustainable rural and urban development should also be done by building a comfortable place for residents, for rural people and villagers. Minister Basuki added that the new urban agenda must also overcome social diversity and geographical location within the global development efforts. Indonesian economy observer Faisal Basri reminds Indonesia to carry out drastic changes in order to become a developed country. In the World Symposium of Indonesian Student PPI in Cairo, Egypt on Monday, Faisal Basri affirmed that if Indonesia does not make drastic changes from now, the opportunity of Indonesia to become a developed country is so small. This means that Indonesia remains in the middle income country.
Kalau kita tidak berbuat apa-apa, tidak melakukan pembaruan, tidak melakukan restorasi, niscaya 94%.
If we do not do anything, do not make any changes and do not carry out restoration, we are 94% possibly caught in the middle income trap. Indonesian possibility to become a developed country in 10 years is only 9%, 12% in 20 years, and 18% in 30 years. If we stand still, Indonesia will stay in the middle-income country. It cannot be developed like Singapore.
Furthermore, Faisal Barsyar stated that to become a developed country or not trapped in the middle-income country, there are two important factors that Indonesian government should pay attention to and improve. First one is education quality and second one is technology in export. Faisal Basri views that Indonesian export is dominated by raw goods, not technological-based goods. He added that it is caused by lack of concern about research. To boost economic growth in Indonesia, needs increasing access to banking. Economy Observer Faisal Basri made a statement in the World Symposium of Indonesian Students PPN Cairo, Egypt on Monday. According to Faisal, only 36% of adults in Indonesia have access to bank or save money in bank. Faisal said banking fund is highly needed for development.
Intinya perbankan dan sektor keuangan. Nah, pertanyaannya di Indonesia orang yang naruh uang di bank sedikit.
Only 36% of adults in Indonesia have access to bank while the rest do not save money in bank. If they do not save in bank, the money doesn't circulate right. Some buy gold. So I suggest them not to buy gold if they have money because they just keep it. If they put their money in bank, the bank rolls it. If they do not trust conventional banks, there are Syariah banks now. In the past, they did not want to put money in bank because of riba or usury. Now there are Syariah banks, so there is no excuse.
According to Faisal Basri, if most of Indonesians have access to banking, the government does not need to take tax and exit policy. Faisal Basri also added the government should also streamline banks in Indonesia. According to him, the number of banks in Indonesia has much impact. Banks in Indonesia do not have much capital to become credit for people.
This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian government spent 863 trillion rupiah of its budget in the first half of this year, or just around 41.5% of the total fund allocated in the state budget. In the same period last year, the absorption rate was slightly lower at around 752.1 trillion rupiah, or around 37.9%. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro is confident that the government spending will be faster in semester 2 as project bidding are finalizing. Minister Bambang even said that the government spending could reach 100% by the end of the year. While this year's budget policy is to the Public Works and Public Housing Ministry, which amounts 97 trillion rupiah, another large budget allocation is to the Transportation Minister. As of July 21st, the ministry had only used 12 trillion rupiah, or just 28.06% of its 42.9 trillion rupiah allocation. The ministry is targeting to use 35.24% of its budget by the end of July. They plan to hold 132 ward action packages worth 433 billion rupiah by the end of this month. Based on data of Social Ministry in 2007, 500,000 Indonesian children were in children welfare institutions or orphanages. In fact, 90% of them still have parents. Advocacy specialist of Yayasan Sayangi Tunas Cilik Foundation, M. Subedi Cotton, said in a press briefing on Monday in Jakarta that the foundation encouraged the government to adopt family-based children nurturing pattern. The family-based children nurturing programs to prevent institutionalization and separation of children from their families. Subedi said family-first program or family-based nurturing tries to set nurturing standard that can be applied in 8,000 orphanages in Indonesia. This program also encourages children who still have family or relative not to be placed in orphanages or children welfare institution.
Kita tidak hanya bertumpu kepada fokus kualitas pengasuhan di panti saja.
We do not want to rely on the quality of nurturing in orphanages only. We hope for another alternative nurturing such as relatives nurturing. It means if the children do not have family, there should be relatives. Then we look for another alternative like foster parents.
Furthermore, Subedi Cotton explained this family-based nurturing program has been applied in 9 cities or regions and it spans in 4 provinces, namely West Java, Yogyakarta, East Nusantara, and Lampung. At the moment, Yayasan Sangit Tunas Cilik Foundation and Social Ministry are encouraging bill on children nurturing. They have addressed the bill draft to Commission 8 of the Indonesian House of Representatives DPR and it is expected to become a national legislation program in 2017. The last item, the Olympic Games of 2016, which will be held in Rio de Janeiro from August 6 to 21st, is the next event which becomes the challenge for Indonesian Olympic continent. The continent consists of 28 athletes of 7 sports. The 7 sports which will compete include weightlifting athletes, archery, swimming, badminton, rowing, and cycling, which is separated by BNX race or BNX supercross. For active sport, Indonesia is represented by 2 disciplines. They are long jump and 100 sprint. This information was explained by Raja Sabta Oktari in an exclusive interview with Voice of Indonesia on Tuesday in Jakarta. Related to the obstacles, especially during the preparation process in each sport, he said there were no obstacles during the preparation process.
Not really. We already almost more than 95% the preparation for everything.
Tidak,
persiapan there already almost more than 95% preparation for everything, and some of us already fatigued to advancing to Rio. Even the official of Indonesia embassy in Brazil are already preferred to move the activity from Brazil to Rio de Janeiro. So hopefully everything can run well. Raja Sabta Oktari, LCD Indonesian contingent who dispatched to the Rio, has met the required qualification. Before the departure, the continent, which consists of 28 athletes, had been done some selection processes in each sport. The selection are started from regional selection until international selection, which is required by the Olympic Committee. That's news of the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is holding VOI International Quiz 2016 with the main prize, having a holiday in Indonesia. Indonesia, an amazing country, the world's largest archipelago country, where you can find a lot of wonderful things. Indonesia, a beautiful place with natural cultural diversity, along with its friendly people. All of this will impress you for good. Are you dreaming of visiting Indonesia? Make your dream come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2016. You may be the lucky one to visit the wonderful Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. What is the capital city of Indonesia? 2. What is your favorite program? 3. Tell us briefly what you know about Voice of Indonesia. Please send your answer along with your personal data, passport number, and expiry date of your passport to voiquiz2016@gmail.com. voiquiz2016@gmail.com before August 1st, 2016. Welcome to Indonesia.
Listener, a commentary today entitled Wise Attitude in Handling Terrorists. Some time ago, Central Sulawesi Police Chief Brigadier General Police Rudy again warned Santoso followers that still survive in their hiding place in the jungle to immediately surrender. Both Indonesia Military TNI and the National Police Polri ensure that those who have surrendered will be treated humanely by holding human rights values. In the operation of eradicating and preventing terrorism, especially in facing Santoso rebel group in Poso Central Sulawesi, Polri cooperate with the Indonesia military TNI, while among the communities there are disputes about who should be responsible for countering terrorism. Some people say that this is the domain of Polri to uphold law enforcement because terror can be classified as a violation against criminal law. On the other hand, terrorists and terror networks jeopardize national interests and integrity of the Unitary Republic of Indonesia. Sometimes the terrorists have paramilitary capability and military training before they are deployed to the field and perform the action. In a sense, they're able to operate as a guerrilla and join forces, so that it's right for the Indonesian military at night to conduct military operation to eradicate the terrorists. In Santoso's case, terrorism intelligence analysts praised the way how the Indonesian military at night captured and treated Delima, the wife of Santoso. The TNI saw the good attitude towards the unarmed fugitive. Basically, whoever they are, either terrorists or not, they should be treated like civilized human beings, even if they commit wrongdoings. Both Indonesian military TNI and the Indonesian police Polri have shown good ethics when arresting wives and family members of Santoso. For example, as a Muslim woman, she was escorted by female army and police personnel. This is one attempt to reduce resistance and hatred of sympathizers of this group, both in Poso and elsewhere. It should be admitted, there are still many people out there who are not participating in the guerrilla in the woods with Santoso, but they are likely to sympathize and have a common understanding with the terrorist leader. So with a wise attitude in handling the rest of Santoso's men, including his wife, is expected to be the first step of decriminalization, which is often echoed by the government. Whoever he or she is, if guilty, they must be punished. But the punishment, in addition to providing a deterrent effect, should be followed by coaching to realize that the actions taken are incorrect and unlawful. One of them is by wisely applying the deradicalization. Listener, that's commentary today, presented by Rahman.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with July 26, 1953. Fidel Castro led a failed attack on the Moncada Barracks. On July 26, 1953, Fidel Alejandro Castro Ruz, who later became president of Cuba, led an assault on the Moncada military barracks Santiago de Cuba. The aim is to overthrow the then Cuban dictator Fulgencio Batista. But unfortunately, the effort failed. A total of 69 people from the 111 people who participated in the movement were killed, and Castro was jailed for 15 years. Castro was later pardoned and moved to Mexico. There, he gathered young people who wanted to return to Cuba to overthrow Batista again. Although it failed, the July 26 movement was the forerunner of the revolutionary movement that overthrew Batista later in 1959. Until this time, every year, the Cuban people commemorate the July 26 attack on the Moncada barracks. Over now to July 26, 1946, the anniversary of the Indonesian Air Force Academy. The history of the Air Force Academy started with the establishment of the first Institute of Air Force Officers Training in Magua, Yogyakarta during the War of Independence in 1945. By the end of December 1945, Air Force Commodore Suryadi Suryadharma planned the establishment of Air Force personnel. This task was then submitted to Agustinus Adi Sucipto. This was the first Air Force Education Institute, which is the embryo of the Air Force Academy. The trainings take place in Adi Sucipto Air Base because it has historical ties with the founding of the Air Force and the establishment of the first flying school in 1946. It also meant to honor and remember the hero of the Air Force, Vice Marshal or Air Commodore Adi Sucipto, as the founder of the first Air Force flying school. In September 1947, for the first time, the Air Force Flying School received Indonesian youth trained as a student pilot. Let's end with July 26, 1965, the Maldives Independence. Maldives is an island country in the Indian Ocean. Ibn Battuta came to the archipelago in the 14th century with the teachings of Islam, which later became the majority religion in Maldives today. At the beginning of the 16th century, the Maldives was colonized by the Portuguese and later moved to the Dutch, French, and finally, by the end of the 19th century, the Maldives was returned to the British colony. At that time, the Maldives was incorporated in the territory of Sri Lanka. Following the independence of Sri Lanka, the British granted the status of autonomy to the Maldives in 1965. Well, that was Today in History of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. Today's theme is Death's Execution of Drug Case Convicts. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. The Attorney General is preparing for the executions process of death sentence on Freddy Budiman, a drug dealer, and a number of other death row after the Supreme Court formally rejected the legal application for case review by Freddy Budiman. Attorney General Prasetyo in Jakarta on Friday, July the 22nd, said he had to prepare the execution process carefully. According to the Attorney General, preparation in the field related to the execution phase of the death sentence against drug cases is now complete. In a closed session on Wednesday, July the 20th, the Supreme Court rejected Freddy's application for a review on his case. Freddy Budiman has been sentenced to death by the West Jakarta District Court in 2012 for smuggling 1.4 million ecstasy pills from China. Previously, Attorney General Prasetyo said the executions would be carried out in the near future. Others to be executed are inmates from Indonesia, Nigeria, and Zimbabwe. Presidential spokesman Johan Budi Sabto Prabowo, as released by Koran Tempo Daily, said on Monday, July the 25th, that President Joko Widodo supports the Attorney General Office plan to continue the execution of death row inmates in drug cases. According to the president, he has never had any doubt about the execution. Johan Budi said the execution could go ahead because the law in Indonesia is still set it as a form of punishment. Moreover, the Attorney General as an executor also had an in-depth review on it. Meanwhile, Chairman of the House of Representatives Ade Komarudin supports the third phase death sentence execution to be immediately executed as part of running a legal decision that must be obeyed. Ade Komarudin, as quoted by Republika in Jakarta on Monday, July the 25th, said the decision has been taken by the government, so it is not negotiable for the sake of enforcing the court judgment orders. Ade Komarudin said that although Indonesia has implemented death penalty, drug trafficking remains rampant, so a deterrent effect is needed. While coordinator for Monitoring Center of Indonesian Political and Legal Affairs, Parapat Gandhi, said the public support the government to the Attorney General to immediately carry out the execution of death row inmates of drug cases. Gandhi Parapat in Medan, North Sumatra on Sunday said the execution is expected to bring a deterrent effect for drug dealers. There is no reason to stall it, for this will only make people lose confidence on the government. That was Focus Today. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Here is a brief read by Rahmana. In the opening of the third session of Preparatory Committee of the Habitat Conference 3 in Surabaya, Jawa on Monday, Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla said in his speech that urbanization is every country nowadays. Minister of Public Works and Public Housing Basuki Hadi Mulyono, in a country statement that was submitted by Indonesian delegation in PRETCOM 3 in Surabaya on Monday, said that Indonesia, as a representative of archipelagic countries, encourage urban development efforts in archipelagic state. To boost economic growth in Indonesia, needs increasing access to banking. Economic Observer Faisal Basir made a statement in a World Symposium of Indonesian Student PPN Care Agent on Monday. Indonesian Economic Observer Faisal Basir reminds Indonesia to carry out drastic changes in order to become a developed country. In the World Symposium of Indonesian Student PPI in Cairo, Egypt on Monday, Faisal Basri affirmed that if Indonesia does not make drastic changes from now, the opportunity of Indonesia to become a developed country is so small.
Indonesian government spent 865 trillion rupiah of its budget in the first half of this year, or just around 41.5% of the total fund allocated in the state budget. Based on data of Social Ministry in 2007, 500,000 Indonesian children were in children welfare institution or orphanage. The Olympic Games 2016, to be held in Rio de Janeiro from August 6 to 21st, is the next event, which becomes the challenge for Indonesian Olympic contingent. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Taman Ayodhya. Stay tuned. Listeners, as the capital of the Republic of Indonesia, Jakarta is fulfilled by skyscrapers building and thousands of vehicles back and forth. Surely the condition makes the atmosphere of Jakarta is quite congested and highly air pollution. But amid this condition, there are refreshing oases in Jakarta, as it has some cool city parks. One of them is Ayodhya Park. The park is located at Jalan Barito, Kramat Pela, Kebayoran Baru, South Jakarta. To reach the place, you can use a metro minibus from Blok M Terminal. Listener, because the park is located on Jalan Barito, so Ayodhya Park is also called Barito Park. The name Ayodhya is based on a future paradise garden of Alengka Kingdom because the park is very famous for its beauty. Once the area of Ayodhya Park was used as a place for ornamental fish traders. This location was also used as the ornamental fish central area in Jakarta. But after the fish market moved, the location is then built the city park area. On March 15, 2009, Taman Ayodhya or Ayodhya Park, then inaugurated by Jakarta Governor Fauzi Bowo. The Ayodhya Park, standing on the area of 7,500 square meters. The park is formed as a circle, therefore the park looks like an island. The park's outer surroundings are decorated by tropical tall trees. Then on the inside, there are overgrown smaller trees, green grass, various kinds of beautiful flowers, jogging track covering an area of 1,700 square meters, gazebo, pavilion, and lawn chairs. Furthermore, in the center of the park, there is an artificial lake covering 1,500 square meters, which is also overgrown the lotus plant, as well as the variety of decoration in the form of an octopus shape of lights and fountains. Listener, visiting the Ayodhya Park, you can enjoy the cool views and beautiful park. You can relax to sit in gazebo or lawn chair there while enjoying the scenery. You can visit the park in the morning to do sport, where the running tracks is available for free. During the day, you can take pictures amidst the trees. At night, you can enjoy the beauty of the park through the lights that will illuminate the park. Do not worry to eat and drink, because sellers of food and beverages are also available in and around the park. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topics Taman Ayodhya or Ayodhya Park. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is membeli kosmetik or buying cosmetics. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice, you can follow after me. Membeli. Membeli, in English, to buy. Cosmetic. Cosmetic, in English, cosmetics. Akhir pekan. Akhir pekan, weekend. Kemana. Kemana, where. Acara. Acara, program. Traktir, traktir, to treat. Makan, makan, to eat. Alas bedak, foundation. Bedak, bedak, powder. Pensil alis, eyebrow pencil. Mascara, mascara, mascara. Habis, habis, finished. Penghapus, penghapus, remover. Lantai bawah, basement. Makan, makan, to eat. Minum, minum, to drink. Ngobrol, ngobrol, to chat. Makanan, makanan, food. Enak, enak, delicious. Suasana, suasana, ambience. Nyaman, nyaman, comfortable. Next is a conversation on membeli kosmetik or in English buying cosmetics. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Mary and Novi at the office. Novi, akhir pekan kamu mau kemana? Novi, akhir pekan kamu mau kemana? In English, Novi, where are you going this weekend? Akhir pekan saya belum ada acara. Akhir pekan, saya belum ada acara. This weekend, I haven't had a program. Kamu mau traktir saya makan? Kamu mau traktir saya makan? Are you going to treat me to a meal? Saya mau ke Grand Indonesia. Saya mau ke Grand Indonesia. I want to go to Grand Indonesia. Saya mau membeli kosmetik. Saya mau membeli kosmetik. I want to buy some cosmetics. Kamu mau membeli kosmetik apa?
Kamu mau membeli kosmetik apa? What kind of cosmetics do you want to buy? Saya mau membeli lipstick, alas bedak, bedak, pensil alis, pemerah pipi, dan maskara. Saya mau membeli lipstick, alas bedak, bedak, pensil alis, pemerah pipi, dan maskara. I want to buy some lipstick, foundation, and face powder, and eyebrow pencil, blush on, and mascara. All my cosmetics have finished. Baiklah, saya juga mau membeli penghapus make up. Baiklah, saya juga mau membeli penghapus make up. Okay, I also want to buy some make up remover. Setelah membeli kosmetik, kita ke lantai bawah. Setelah membeli kosmetik, kita ke lantai bawah. After buying the cosmetics, we'll go downstairs to the basement. Di sana, kita makan dan minum sambil ngobrol-ngobrol. Di sana, kita makan dan minum sambil ngobrol-ngobrol. There we can eat and drink while chatting. Di sana makanannya enak dan suasananya nyaman. Di sana makanannya enak dan suasananya nyaman. The food there is delicious and the ambience is nice or comfortable. Baiklah, sampai jumpa akhir pekan. Baiklah, sampai jumpa akhir pekan. Alright, see you on the weekend. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi. Till we meet again.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is holding VOI International Quiz 2016 with the main prize, having a holiday in Indonesia. Indonesia, an amazing country, the world's largest archipelagic country, where you can find a lot of wonderful things. Indonesia, a beautiful place with natural cultural diversity, along with its friendly people. All of this will impress you for good. Are you dreaming of visiting Indonesia? Make your dream come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2016. You may be the lucky one to visit the wonderful Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. What is the capital city of Indonesia? 2. What is your favorite program? 3. Tell us briefly what you know about Voice of Indonesia. Please send your answer along with your personal data, passport number, and expiry date of your passport to voiquiz2016@gmail.com. voiquiz2016@gmail.com before August 1st, 2016. Welcome to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I'll present you to a talented Indonesian female singer, Lucy Rahmawati. Listener, a woman who was born in Jakarta, on January 1, 1977, began her musical career with AB3 Group, now B3. In 2001, Lucy resigned from AB3, which has raised her name in the Indonesian music industry. Listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Selamanya Padamu by Lucy Rahmawati. Happy listening.
Dalam langkahku, ku yakinkan segala asa padamu.
The song Selamanya Padamu tells about someone's presence who brought a glimmer of hope and dreams, removing the wound of love. Everything is now given to him and expects to be fidelity to walk together. The songs with similar themes are often met in several songs' lyrics and film. However, this song had its own power, both a good choice of words in lyric, the rhythm of song, and Lucy's vocal. The combination of these elements is supported by a nice music arrangement, making this song is beautiful to enjoy. Along her solo career, Lucy Rahmawati has released several albums including Lucy Album in 2001, Dua Warna in 2004, Sexy in 2007, and Aku Ini Punya Siapa in 2009. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Menginginkan Lebih by Lucy Rahmawati. Happy listening.
Aku selalu mencoba untuk menahan gejolak jiwaku. Dunia yang penuh cadar bila engkau ada di dekatku. Berteman itu indah, begitulah katamu, dan hatiku takkan setuju. Mungkin engkau tak pernah tahu diri ini menginginkanmu lebih dari yang engkau tahu. Sesungguhnya aku telah menyimpan cinta.
Listener, the song tells about friendship between two beings, but secretly they kept hope more close, wishing it not only a friendship, but as a couple lover.
Listener, although Lucy has already separated from AB3 Group, their relationship remained run well. In 2015, Baby Romeo made an album entitled Baby Romeo Signature that involved a number of singers, including Lucy Rahmawati, singing along B3 Group in a song entitled Pertama. The four were very surprised by the offer of Baby Romeo to sing one of the songs on his new album. Although she is no longer member of B3, Lucy still maintained good communication with the personnel Vidi, Cynthia Lamusu, and Nola. Even a collaboration with B3 becomes a very special thing for her. Well, dear listener, to conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Demi Cinta and Saat Kau Jauh by Lucy Rahmawati. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Dan selalu hadir di sini menjaga cinta yang selalu kau tanam untuk akhiri beribu tanya dalam hatiku begitu kejamnya waktu
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.